The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
Okie doke, very welcome back to the programme, and thanks so much for all of your calls and comments today. As it relates to that junction in Kilmacrenan, a listener says, it's an absolute tragedy waiting to happen. As a parent of a child at the local school, I dread that junction. When the sun is low in the sky at this time of year, there's very little vision as you drive up the hill at the junction towards the Letterkenny direction. Morning rush hour traffic, lorries coming out that side road of the junction constantly from the Churchill Milford direction. Children and parents walking, trying to cross the road, waiting as cars dare not stop. And if they do, there's a free-for-all. The local breakfast club, children walking to school. The pub on the corner of that junction that houses a lot of people and has added extra floors of housing as an extension with more in the near future. Their front door is directly on that corner. Children walking to school cross the road as there's no footpath on that side, so they dart in front of the cars turning in from the main road. Then add morning service at the chapel at the same time. Coming into the village has traffic calming on one side of the village but not on the other. So the cars coming from Letterkenny on the good road downhill at speed, and then that is the side of the village with no traffic calming. How many eyes in your head do you need? Talk about a hazard. And they say there is a lot of people, a lot of children living in the area who access out of one particular door. Last year, a car crashed at that junction and into the front door. No safe footpath at that junction. Car parked on that dangerous corner. So that's a detailed review from one listener there. There's a few different issues running at the moment. We have the issue in Kilmacrenan, bus escorts, and also access to healthcare. My son also goes on the bus with Keith and Eileen. I'm very shocked that they don't get paid for the days off. Is anything going to come of this? Will there be strikes? I would support them all the way. They are so good to my boy. My son knows them better than his SNA. I know them better than the SNA, and they know him better than the SNA. They're like a friend, which is kind of a message we've had from a number of parents. They say they don't want to strike. Striking is not on the table. That's not what they want to do. They're not critical of the schools. They certainly don't want to leave parents or their children in the lurch that their issue is with the Department of Education. Hi, I'm a bus driver for special needs children. We don't get either. So that would be paid holidays and what have you. Waiting in the hospital, this country is a joke. Bringing people in from other countries to get operations, guaranteed there'll be more people now too. They need to sort their own people first. No problem helping others, but there are people here waiting and suffering for years. We can't even look after our own. They're not taking into account that there are nearly 10,000 extra people in this country and no extra resources. Well, there's 7,000 extra, nearly 10,000 extra in this county. Maybe that's what you meant. Okay. Telling people to go private just reinforces the inequality in our health service. Yes, people are desperate, but the HSC managers must be made accountable for the problems in hospital management. And I get what you're saying, but people, like, say, for instance, the caller that went private, it cost over 2,000 euro. They didn't want to do that, but they had no choice. They managed to get the money together and it changed their life. So I understand why they texted in. Please, can you read out again the danger of Black Mountain Malinhead Road, where the water is flooding down the road? So much traffic driving up the middle of the road. The shucks on both sides haven't been cleaned in years, and now the water is no place but the road to come down. Thanks, it may save a collision. Yeah, indeed, I appreciate that. Maybe there's a local rep that might get on that one as well. Let me see. In response to the junction, I read that one, thank you. I'm sure that Stephen Donnelly knows that the noise, what the noise is. Constant noise all the time. People in Omagh town don't notice because of the traffic. I know because the cables were replaced 4 months ago where my parents live in the country. As soon as you leave the house outside the door, you hear the hum from the pylon cables. That's someone who called us in there, and I think implying that the dogs in the street know the situation. Riot, another caller asks, why are greenways located alongside busy roads? People cycling or walking are doing so for health reasons, but currently millions are being spent on a so-called greenway between Castlefin and Lifford, where users will be bombarded by the pollutants and toxic emissions of every car, bus and lorry. There is a disused railway track from Derry to Donegal Town and beyond. This is where a greenway should be located. I hope the Barnesmore Greenway is kept away from the N15. Well, I suppose they might say by 2040, there'll be very, very few vehicles on the road emitting toxic materials. Maybe that's what they're looking at to the future. Greg, can you ask why none of our TDs or councillors have made any statements about the killing of children in Gaza? There are motions that were down for debate at Donegal County Council meeting yesterday. I presume councillors had their say on that. I don't know. I wasn't privy to it. Local TDs. Well, there was a vote last night, actually, on expelling the. There was a vote last night on expelling the Israeli diplomat. Is that the right word? I don't know how our local TDs voted, but I can check that out. So in a way, that is they having their say, isn't it? Not necessarily. That sounded convoluted. But anyway, let that bus driver come on to your show, Greg. Don't think too many on a minimum wage. I know I'll pay my driver well and all his holiday pay. Okay, right. I think I heard a similar noise in Dunloe the past few nights as heard in Omagh. It's called the hum because it's more and more popular now right across the world. Hello, my wife had the same symptoms as Colette's son. After years of steroids, grommets, etc., her facial nerves got affected. Only then she was taken to Beaumont for emergency surgery to remove a large cyst made up of dead skin. This is known as cholesteatoma. And it's very serious as it can move in behind the brain. She has lost the hearing in this ear. I hope this information helps, perhaps. Okay, thank you. A few years ago, there was a similar mysterious sound heard in Limerick. It featured on RTE News. It turned out that a new bridge had some sort of steel supports which were open at the top, and the wind made a humming sound, a bit like panpipes, which was mostly heard at late evening or night when normal city sounds were reduced. And last one for now, before we take a break for the bingo numbers. It is jackpot day, so I'm sure you're very keen to get your books and pens out. I have a son who started school in September. The bus escort doesn't get up and help the children. I ask my son, he says we don't even wear a seatbelt. He's got his school bag and lunch bag. They're only young. He can't do it himself. She sits there every morning. She doesn't move. If they're actually doing their job, they should get paid more, but she doesn't help at all. It's health and safety. Those children don't wear seatbelts. Bus inspectors need to step up to the mark. If there was a crash, these children don't have seatbelts on. Now, obviously, there are many people working in this area, and some people are going to have different experiences to other. That is one listener there. This is worth a try for ear problems. It's very easy. Gently pull your earlobe and move your head in a circular motion to help the water drain out. Use gravity. Lie down on your side with the affected ear facing down. Stay in this position for a few minutes to allow the water to drain out. That probably is good for certain conditions. I'm not sure it might help Colette's son, but it's red out there, and if it does, it does. Now, we're told that Taoiseach Leo Varadkar will gather with his ministers, parliamentary party, councillors and Fine Gael members to discuss a range of issues, including how delivery for rural Ireland is one of the party's top priorities. Deputy Peter Burke of Fine Gael is the Minister of State for European Affairs, and he joins us on the programme now. Good morning to you. Thanks very much for your time today. We do appreciate it.
Good morning, Greg. Good morning to your listeners.
Right, OK. So talk to us about this conference.
Yes, so the party is having its special conference to discuss many issues that are very pertinent to rural Ireland. We're having a look at our broadband plan and measuring the rollout of it, which is very important for citizens right across the country. We're also having a look at a whole range of areas under our farming and agri sector, from succession planning to food security and to investment in rural Ireland. So we're really trying to work and ensure that the huge capital investment that's in our capital programme is being delivered right down to communities in rural Ireland. And we can see the evidence in our communities from the huge work Minister Heather Humphreys is doing, from the major programmes through CLAR, Outdoor Recreational, Town and Village, Rural Regeneration, LEADER, all those key programmes deliver funding locally. And we really want to see that continue into the future.
Well, the delivery of, you know, roads infrastructure, rail infrastructure, health infrastructure, third level education infrastructure in the regions, not least the Northwest. Do you think that will feature as part of the conversation?
Absolutely. It's very important that we do see that development continue at pace. So we've about 165 billion euro over the next decade to build new hospitals, to ensure we have more schools for many children. Our growing population has increased significantly over the last census. So we need to keep investing in rural Ireland in that infrastructure, because that's one of the ways we really pay a dividend to our citizens into the future, because the income streams that come out of capital investment are quite significant. And it's one of the mistakes that was made back a decade ago when the recession hit this country, really capital expenditure tapered off because it was the easiest one to cut. But we never want to do that again. And that's why our capital plan needs to be maintained. And this conference will be looking at rural Ireland and right across the regions to have balanced regional development and to ensure that we are putting significant capital funding behind so many projects.
Is this going to lay the groundwork for plans? You know, in other words, maybe you could call it levelling up, if we could borrow that phrase. Is this really just a back-patting exercise from Fine Gael, where, you know, you list off figures like 165 billion or million or whatever it might be and so on and so forth? Or are you actually going to, from this, have plans to level up areas like the Northwest? You'd be familiar, maybe, I hope you would be, with the challenges in accessing hospital care, access to the region, the lack of a rail network, matters like that there. You know, will we see new plans, new information coming from a conference like this?
Well, we have plans to do just that. So we already have our rural regeneration plan, which essentially is backed up to our rural future, which has €1 billion funding. That's very significant for rural areas. The capital plan essentially looks after our schools, our hospitals, and that's very significant what we have to deliver. So what we are doing now is discussing any pinch points and the major issues that are facing rural Ireland. Like, we have, as you well know, and your listeners, we have a shortage of young farmers getting interested in agriculture. How do we, you know, devise policies to incentivize it? How do we ensure that we have more connected hubs in rural areas that give people an alternative than traveling over to cities, that they can work at home or work in a connected hub if they have meetings or that they have to do during the week? All those investments for rural Ireland we will be discussing and trying to ensure that all this money is penetrating down to the regions. And we know that that investment is happening, because wherever you stand in rural Ireland, you're not too far away from a town or a village that has got a significant enhancement program, roads that have gone through the LAS scheme in rural areas. We can see through our outdoor recreational scheme post-COVID, when we really learned about a new way of living, getting more time at home, that we've so many infrastructural recreational projects in our locality. All that has helped us into the future.
All right. And presumably Fine Gael members from right across the country will be in Kildare for this event on Saturday.
Absolutely. And we're looking also at trying to give the membership more powers. We think that's very important in terms of having a greater say in policy that the party is devising, and also in terms of decisions that the party takes at a national level. We're having a look at the role of the member as well as part of the conference. And that's important, that our membership really is empowered, that they have the power to make key decisions for the party as well.
Yeah, because there is a sense that, you know, you would see in Derry as well, where decisions, when there is an actual parliament, take place in Belfast. And in our case here in the Republic, when decisions are taken in Dublin, there is a sense of a lack of understanding or connection with rural Ireland. And, you know, we've seen it with the provision of healthcare and road infrastructure, and now with RTE plans to move out of Dublin, that very little seems to happen north of that Dublin-Galway line. Do you recognise that that's an issue, and do you think your party can do something about that?
Well, I think it's a huge challenge, and we are doing something about it, because alone the Shared Island Initiative is looking at so many projects and delivering projects. I was over in Carlingford along the border as well, delivering with Irish Water major infrastructural wastewater treatment plans to allow towns and villages on the border to grow. And we also have major arteries and road projects through the Shared Island Initiative that it is working on. So I think that's a very significant fund to really help border counties and help the Northwest as well, which is very important. But our capital plan will also do that. That will be is backed up by not only money, but we have a planning policy in the National Planning Framework that will be the guide rails to ensure that regions benefit for that. And like me, in Longford West Mead, I'm working so hard to ensure that the M4, the extension of the M4 right into the northwest, is the really large major artery that has to be finished. And we're working hard to ensure that project progresses with Minister Ryan. Those are important projects for the region that we really have to continue at pace and support.
Thank you very much for your time. That's Deputy Peter Burke, the Minister of State for European Affairs. That event taking place in It's taking place in Kildare on Saturday. Back to some of your comments. It seems the problem of humming in Omagh has been resolved, because another listener says, Greg, the humming noise in Omagh is due to cables. They've all been replaced on electricity pylons. I know this as parents live beside them. That's another caller with the same comment there. Hi, Greg. Sending you this text for the 5 years now. The crossroads beside Manor Motors is the junction to crossing. Not one light there for the children crossing either. Getting off the school bus, maybe Paul Cannon could come on and tell us what he thinks should be done. Thanks. Please mention Greg. I was coming out at a road in Dunfanaghy. A bus must have left children off. They were walking. It was 2 minutes to five. It was getting dark. They had dark uniforms on. School bags was what I could see. There were definitely two girls, possibly two boys. I couldn't see them. I swerved. The van behind me swerved. He thought he'd hit me. If there was a car coming the other way, I would have gone into them. If they would even have the torches on their phones just so I could see them, it's a safety issue. And we do have to be really careful now because it is getting dark really early now and we have to be seen. Anyone noticed Fine Gael's new tactic interacting with the main opposition party in Andal on the radio? Don't sue me. Do they realise what happens if one breaks the law, no matter who you are? What other real options are there to counteract media bias and protect one's good name? I don't know. I have mixed views on that, to be honest with you. But if someone is rightly is wronged, well, of course, then there are recourses. They should be able to challenge that. It's how it looks to perception too sometimes. Right. Just in relation to the records being stored at St. Connell's Hospital, we have an email in from a listener. And just to recap, by the way, there's nothing more I can pursue in that story in that the HSC says they won't ask a series of questions I had about the records, how long they've been there, what's going to happen to them now, and so on and so forth, because the matter has been referred to An Garda Síochána. So, in other words, it is off the... We can't talk about it because there's no questions can be answered. It's off the agenda, so to speak. A caller says a helpline should be set up immediately for individuals to be able to determine if their record has been affected, as there'll be some very upset individuals worrying about loved ones' records on their own. From my perspective, from my parents who would have engaged with Letterkenny University Hospital, it would sadden me, and this is no criticism of staff. The staff have no... This is... They have no role in this whatsoever. But if my mum's medical records are lying there in a pile, you know, her x-rays, her notes, stuff that really perhaps was recorded towards the end of her life, I don't know why, but it kind of would bother me if they're just lying there in a damp box in that place for someone to go in and root through. It feels personal to me. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying there or if that's how you feel. It just feels disrespectful to a part of her, if that makes sense. That hasn't motivated me in any way. I just covered the story as I would cover any story, but that honestly is how I feel. It just doesn't feel right. It feels to me like there's a connection there, and it feels disrespectful. But as I say, that's only how I feel, and I'm not saying that that's how other feels. And I, as I say, just to reiterate, this is nothing to do with the staff in the general hospital there whatsoever. This is a separate issue, but there are loads of questions like what's going to happen now, what rules were broken, if any, what will be passed on to the public. I can't ask those questions anymore because I've been told that no more comment because the guards are involved. But anyway, I'll read on from this emailer. The building has inadequate signage to show they are protected documents within. In my opinion, Jamie should be protected under the whistleblower legislation. We need to stop turning to the HSE for answers. A full independent inquiry is needed here with repercussions for all staff and management who, with knowledge of this neglect, this negligent storage of files. Why did they not contact a higher authority? Staff are constantly completing training on HSE land and record keeping. Protected disclosures and personal information, etc., are so clearly aware of the severity of this situation. Anyone involved in the negligent storage of documents or disposal with knowledge of the deterioration of the site environment should be investigated. If this happened in a private company, people would be sacked and government organisations would intervene immediately. I believe Jamie's been visited by the authorities in the north, I was told, but we'll try and get to the bottom of that. There was another case in Britain, by the way. It was a pharmacy group, and it kind of feels similar to this. So I'll read some of this article for you, if that's okay. A pharmacy fined for its careless handling of sensitive personal data has had the level of its penalty reduced on appeal after a tribunal accepted its claims that the scale of its breach of data protection laws was smaller than a UK regulator had determined. doorstep dispensary was fined £270,000 and ordered to improve its data protection practices by the UK Information Commissioner's Office in 2019. The ICO took action after determining that Doorstep Dispensary had stored approximately 500,000 documents in unlocked containers at the back of premises in Edgware in London. Now, there is a claim that the door to St. Connell's was unlocked. That's probably going to be disputed. But the documents contained a range of personal data, including NHS numbers, medical information and details of prescriptions, as well as people's names and addresses. And some of them were water damaged. However, the company raised an appeal and on it goes. So they got the money, the fine reduced from 250 odd thousand down to 92,000. But it was the subject of a full tribunal. And as I say, there does seem to be similarities in the story, water damaged files, the type of information that's available. Was there proper security? What security was there? Again, I apologise. I can't get any answers to those questions for you anymore because the HSE says the matter is now with An Garda Síochána. Now, a majority of TDs have rejected a Social Democrats motion seeking the expulsion of the Israeli ambassador, with 85 TDs backing the government, 55 voting against. The Social Democrats motion demanded that the diplomatic credentials of Israel's ambassador to Ireland, Dana Ehrlich, be revoked. Amongst those who, I presume, Deputy Marian Harkin, I could describe it as voting with the government. You are amongst those, aren't you, on this issue?
Well, in practical terms, no, because I was paired with Minister Norma Foley, who's at a meeting in Europe at the moment. So in actual terms, I voted against the government. And what I said was that I agreed with everything in the motion. They have a lot of asks. That's just one of many asks. They ask, for example, that the EU Israeli trade agreement, that would be suspended. The Horizon Europe funding to Israel would be suspended, that Israel should be referred to the International Criminal Court, that the what we call the Occupied Territories Bill would be passed, which of course the Full Dáil supported many months ago. Okay. I support all of those asks and in fact have actively done something about them, which I'll come back to later. But the one thing that I felt was not the right or the best course of action was to also expel the Israeli ambassador, because what I said is that we need to keep all channels of communication open. We need to keep dialogue on the table, and especially with those people that we fundamentally disagree with. And that's just my perspective on this, because you know, somehow,
but let's just say,
somewhere.
Let's just say, right, that we aren't able to influence the Israeli ambassador, or we aren't able to influence her country. Is it not sending a message to say that what's happening to, or what has happened to, the 4,000 children, the 3,000 women on the grounds of Gaza's biggest hospital, that we are saying, as a to register our upset at what's happening, that we are going to expel? In other words, she can come back in a year or 2 years or what have you, but in now, it's the clearest way we have within our power to send a message to say there needs to be a ceasefire now. Those 4,000 babies and children are incredibly important, and this is what we have within our gift to get that message to the Israelis.
There are a number of things we can do, Greg, and I've listed them. And I've already written to the European Commissioner Dombrovskis and to von der Leyen, asking them to start the process of suspending the trade agreement between Israel and the EU, because there is a clause in that trade agreement which says Israel must adhere to you know, human rights and democratic principles. And I think that's what we did with Russia. We put in sanctions. We tried to show them in other ways that we fundamentally disagree with what they're doing.
But in Russia, you could argue that in Russia, you know, it's a fair fight, in inverted commas, and I'm sure others could contradict me. What we are seeing here, though, is the awful terrible events of October 7th, in which, very sadly, 1,400 people were killed on Israeli soil. What we're seeing from that is, after years of corralling these people in this open prison, indiscriminate bombing, which has cost the lives of at least 4,000 children, 3,000 women, and the cutting off of fuel from hospitals, babies dying in incubators, mass graves at hospitals. Is it a fair comparison between Russia and Israel here? As again, I'll put it to you, if we are truly horrified by...
Well, if you talk to the people in Bucha and many of the other towns in Ukraine,
yes,
they would say that their horror was as great. But I don't think comparing one horror with another...
No, but you compared one diplomat... In fairness to you, Marion, you compared one diplomat to another. So I had no choice.
Well, the point I'm making there is that the opposition called for the expulsion of both of them, and I disagreed with both of them on the same principle. And the principle is that we have to keep channels of communication open, keep talking to people we disagree with. And I did quote the likes of John Hume, you know, at the worst of times, when he was vilified, John kept those communications open. Mm-hmm. He found a way of talking, of listening, of engaging. And it's that diplomacy channel that I just don't want to cut it off. All of the other stuff, the trade agreements, the International Criminal Court, those are real solid actions we can take. And as I said, I as an individual, as a former member of the European Parliament, have already taken the first step there. I have spoken many times about the Occupied Territories Bill. And as I said, the Dáil agreed on it. It's now up to the government to move. So there are many actions you can take. And I just feel that the one we shouldn't take is to just close down those channels, because diplomacy at the end of the day is the only way we'll find a solution. And that doesn't minimise in any way the horror that is happening in Gaza that I and others have spoken many times about. I'm not minimising that in any way. The question is, what actions can you take that are likely to have better outcomes?
But what actions are you to take that are likely to send a strong message that would reverberate? Do you know what I mean? To say, because you say we don't talk, you know, we don't want to stop speaking to people just because we disagree with them. And I understand we have to choose words to describe the situation, but does this not... what we are witnessing, what's happening to these people, does it not go beyond disagreement? It goes to condemnation. It goes to...
But we're doing that, Greg. I mean, our own Taoiseach has spoken about revenge. Our Taoiseach, who's in the Middle East at the moment, has spoken about disproportionate reaction. And while that word disproportionate might sound, you know, a bit weak, if you look at international law, that is the word that is used to describe disproportionate. Says that it prohibits attacks against military objectives that would be the likes of Al-Shifa Hospital, which are expected to cause incidental loss of civilian life. That's international law. That is very clear. And that's the language we are using. And I think we are very strong on that. Very few other countries are using that language. I do think within the EU, we were able to bring a group together, be part of a group that moderated the response. If we get rid of the ambassador, if we cut off ties, I think we push ourselves outside an area of influence. And I don't want us to do that. I want us to be as strong and to take the actions that I've spoken of, the International Criminal Court.
I get you. You've mentioned that a couple of times now. Okay, I understand. I want to bring Iyad Mashal, who's co-chair of the Irish Palestinian Solidarity Campaign in Donegal. You had an opportunity to listen to Deputy Marion Harkin. Iyad, what say you?
Well, first of all, Greg, thank you for having me on today. And I would like also from your program to thank all the Irish people who took to the streets with us in solidarity with the Palestinian people. Greg, what's going on today far exceeds the disagreement, just like you said. So diplomatic representation is a failure at this point. And what's the point of having international laws if the Israelis keep breaking them and breaking them? And you know, now we're just standing here saying, expelling the ambassador, whether we should do it or not. That ambassador should have been expelled when she criticized the president of Ireland. You know, she's breaking diplomatic protocols, and the country she represents is currently involved in a genocide. But the amazing thing here, we know Palestine is occupied. Everybody knows that. The question is, who isn't occupied today? If the politicians are not listening to the people, there's a divide in Irish politics. At the minute, this is becoming very apparent. The people, everybody is saying that what's going on is wrong. The politicians are not reflecting that in from their position as representatives of the people. That's my point here. Also, you know, you mentioned Russia. Listen, there is no hierarchy in struggle. Every person, every innocent person that got hurt during any of these horrible actions, military actions against civilians, we're all equal, whether it's Gaza or Ukraine or anywhere in the world. But it was amazing how fast everybody moved for Ukraine. In the first week, there was 60 sanctions. And Micheál Martin was one of the biggest callers on enforcing sanctions on Russia. And Russia is a big country with a massive history. They actually defeated the Second World War, if the people don't know that. And they've, you know, they have massive history. And all of a sudden, all the countries in the world decided that, you know, we have to sanction them, we have to punish them for what they're doing. Sanction, 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 UN meetings, general meetings, emergency meetings. Israel has been doing this for 75 years. 75 years. And now we're talking about expelling the ambassador. I mean, that's not even enough.
What about the argument, Iyad, that what would it achieve in that, yes, it would send a message, but it means that we can still, whilst she's in situ, make very clear our calls for a ceasefire, for a resolution to this that will not cost any more innocent lives. Is it not better to be able to have that conversation through official channels than to, you know, just disregard it altogether?
Well, look, it's simple. They're not listening. You can try and speak to them and have negotiations. We had negotiations as Palestinian people for 20 years with the Israelis, peace negotiations. We gave them everything they wanted, and they kept changing. We have rights in resolutions, in UN resolutions. 194 is a resolution where we are trying to have a state. All of that, illegal settlements are being built. Since we had the peace with them, they've been building illegal settlements. And they've been taking land and killing people. This is not about Gaza only. You want to see what's going on in the West Bank. I actually blame the media for not showing what's going on, really. Even Al Jazeera, everyone's saying, oh, CNN and RT and BBC are evil, evil. Al Jazeera's evil too. They're not showing you everything you need to see. There is a lot more than what you think is happening.
Well, in fairness, particularly to the likes of Al Jazeera, I mean, they are in the ground in Gaza, and many of their journalists who are Gazans have lost their own lives or their families' lives to try and expose what's happening. Do you think that's a fair criticism of Al Jazeera? I mean, you don't want to sort of presumably alienate everyone by being critical of absolutely everybody, do you?
Well, to be honest with you, yes, I can be critical of everyone, because what I'm trying to say here is that I'm not, obviously, look, the people on the ground, they are, you know, they are in the ground. They are witnessing everything that is happening, and they're doing an amazing job. I'm not criticizing the people themselves. I'm criticizing the media in general, as organizations and companies and headquarters and all of that. Look, the truth of the matter is that the killing of civilians and innocent people and children in Palestine has to stop. And not only it has to stop. People who are quiet when this is happening have to be held accountable for their silence. Mm-hmm. Okay. You remember, listen, yourself on your radio, I learned something amazing, by the way, on your show, that the Native Americans sent $100 to the Irish people during famine, right? That means a lot to the Irish people today. There's a tribe, a Native American tribe. I learned this on Highland Radio one day. Mm-hmm. Look, solidarity makes a difference. Ireland has suffered from colonialist settlement oppression for hundreds of years. Ireland has to, as politicians and a government, they have to put pressure on Israel today.
But what about the measures? What about measures? Marion Hawkins mentioned, and I'll bring her back in a moment, has mentioned the measures that have been taken. She supports all of them in terms of our trade agreements and what have you. But Ms. Hawkins is of the view that it's far better off to retain the diplomats so that there is a direct line. So in other words, if another thing is completely horrific, that we can relate it to her and she's obliged then to take that back to her government, I presume. Is there not some value in that statement that at least then our disgust, if it's applicable, is registered then directly with the Israelis? And if we cut that line of communication or those lines of influences, then, you know, we're making a mistake.
Look, as I said, there has been diplomatic representation between Ireland and Israel for a very long time. And this is not the first time Israel is breaking international law. What's the point of having any conversation or any channels of communication with them if they're not going to listen to you in the first place?
Okay, let me put that directly to Deputy Hawken. I mean, it's... Iyad, Mashal, changing your view at all, Deputy Hawken, or are you resolute in your view that we need to retain these lines of dialogue?
Well, first of all, I just want to say that I fully, I can't say I fully understand where Iyad is coming from, but I have followed this for many years, especially when I was in the European Parliament. I know what Israel has done with UN resolutions, flouting. I know what's happening. So the heartbreak for people in Gaza, and he's quite right, in the West Bank, it's unbearable to watch. So I understand all of that. The only question is, where can we go from here now, this awful situation we're in?
Maybe we can ensure, Deputy, that we are on the right side of history. I mean, we really probably don't know the full extent of what's going on here or the true motivation and the end game. Maybe we want to make sure that we are on the right side of history when our children and grandchildren are looking at what Ireland did or didn't do. Whilst, as I say, and I'm not trying to be emotive here, but I don't want them to be forgotten, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 babies, kids, children, my children's age, wiped from the face of this earth. You know, do we not need to make sure we are standing on the right side of history in years to come?
Well, I suppose you ask what actions can we take. Our votes in the UN show we're on the right side of history. Our Taoiseach talking about Israel as committing an act of revenge is on the right side of history. Our call by many people in the Dáil for the Occupied Territories Bill, the enactment, is on the right side of history. And at the end of the day, diplomacy cannot be a failure, because if diplomacy is a failure, I mean, where do we go? And I international law, of course it doesn't work a lot of the time. People who never gave up, who never stopped talking, never stopped listening, never stopped engaging. It's that.
But does there not come a point? Does there not come a point where you say that these acts are so abhorrent that for the time being we're actually going to suspend engaging with you? That's how bad we think about this situation. That doesn't mean to say that we won't come around the table with you again. But at this point, with what you're doing and disregarding pretty much every country's view on the situation, that for now we have to take a stand and say we will we'll speak to you again, but we're so opposed to what you're doing now, we're actually going to have to suspend those diplomatic relations.
You said that, but I still believe that talking is more important than turning your back. I always believe that. Whatever the situation is, however awful, difficult, intractable, and this is an intractable situation, I still believe that communication, it's the only way we humans have of connecting with one another.
Okay.
And we all remember the history. We remember how close we came to it in Camp David, and yet it didn't happen. And when that chance went, a lot of people felt that this is on a wrong path, and that we are where we are now. Mm-hmm. But this is my personal view, talking is better than turning your back.
And the reason why we want to speak to you is because whilst it might be your personal view, you know, many thousands of people elected you to represent them. That includes Sligo, Leitrim, of course, much of South Donegal. They did represent you to represent them as well. So I do understand it is your personal view, but the way democracy works is that you were elected to represent your people as well.
Absolutely. And there are different viewpoints out there. People want to see, what do people want? They want to see an end to the war. That's what people want to see. Mm-hmm. And the way we can do that, or not we can't do it, but the way we can try to influence is through diplomacy, and I think getting some of our citizens out at the moment is part of that, but through diplomacy and through actions at EU level, trade agreements, I've listed them all, that those are ways that we can work.
Okay, Deputy Harkin, I do have to move forward. I appreciate all of your time today. I'm sure you're incredibly busy. I will come back for a final word, Iad, with you, if that's okay. But Stuart, I'm sorry to hold you. Just a quick comment from you, if that's okay.
Well, Mairéads, as far as I'm concerned, that woman is representing part of Donegal, and she's representing this part of Ireland. And we want Israel booted out of Ireland. Everybody that belongs to that embassy needs to go now. They're not going to listen to one word that's been said. That man is a dictator. He's even worse than a dictator. What he is, I can't even mention online what he is, Netanyahu. That man is the most evil human being on this planet at this time. And he has to be sent a clear message that the Irish people are totally against what's going on. People don't realise, unless you're on the ground in Gaza, what's going on. Even soldiers, Israeli soldiers, are coming back at night, and they don't want to ever go back to work again because they don't want to start. They don't want to be killing children. They are murdering children indiscriminately. We need them booted out immediately because that woman is not listening to one word. All she's doing is gathering information. That's all they do in every country. Try and buy off who they can. Get the support for Israel. That's all they want. Support for Israel. They don't care about anybody else. That's all they're interested in, Israel.
Right.
Ban
okay.
them from everything they can. Get them out.
Yeah, but I mean, in terms of Marion Hawke, I know you're not referring to her because she pointed out she's supported. She's supported all.
Of course,
but she supported all. She supported all the other measures. I get you. Thanks, Stuart. Iad, very finally to you. I mean, you've heard Stuart's view there. You heard Marion. Yeah. We actually have to go now because the news is on the way. But I want to thank you for joining us this morning.
Okay, thank you. There's not much I can say now, is it?
No, well, if you have 30 seconds, go ahead, Iad. I don't want to cut you off. Okay,
What I would like to say is people in Donegal, take to the streets, put pressure on your politicians. We're going to have another vote hopefully soon, and we will expel that horrible embassy. We don't need an Israeli flag flying in Ireland while they're killing children in Palestine.
Okay, thanks, Iad. I appreciate your time.